This morning we finish our winter series, Remarkable, as we've been thinking about the ordinary practices that can make our lives extraordinary. And through our series, we have reflected on different maybe piety practices, things we do quietly on our own, or things that we do to serve our world. And today we talk a lot about the ways we offer our lives as a gift to the world. And Paul's words in Romans reminds us that God has gifted each and every one of us with a portion of God's Spirit. And part of our work as the church is to help one another live out the callings that we have together, and yet that they're individual and differentiated. And one of my favorite things about my work as a pastor is that I get to be a part of people's lives to help them live out the callings that they have in their own lives so they can live in sync with God and share things that bring just joy, not only to their lives, but to the world. And sometimes that work comes directly in and through our work as a church, and we see the ways that blesses our church. We just celebrated examples of that just a few minutes ago. And sometimes, though, it comes by finding a calling that is deeply important to the world, but outside of the traditional bounds of the church. And it brings joy and glory to God in new and different ways. And so as we bring that balance of recognizing the service we do within the church, I also wanted to bring that example of the ways we live our faith outside of our church programs. And so I have asked Joanne to come forward today, and she's going to talk a little bit about how she lives her life of faith and service in the world. And I'll let her tell you a little bit more about that herself. She brought a friend, by the way.
Come here. Down. You stay there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to tell you about Can-Do Canines and what they do, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story with them. And as you can see, this is Augie here practicing his leave it, trying to work on their self-control. So Can-Do Canines is an organization dedicated to enhancing the quality of life for people with disabilities by creating mutually beneficial partnerships with specially trained dogs. That's our mission statement. Can-Do Canines, which is located over on Highway 169 between Bass Lake Road and Schmidt Lake Road on the New Hope side, you can see it as you drive down there. They are one of only two assistance programs in the state of Minnesota that are certified by Assistance Dogs International. Their program is 34 years old this year. Okay. So we train five different types of assistance dogs. We train hearing assist dogs. They alert people, especially things like the smoke alarms, or the oven timer, or when people are talking to them. You know, unless they are looking, sometimes if people are really hard of hearing, unless they're really looking right at somebody, they don't realize when somebody is talking to them, and it makes them feel very isolated. We also train mobility assist dogs, and mobility assist dogs, there's many different kinds of. Doesn't mean the person is necessarily in a wheelchair, but the dogs help out by opening doors, by picking things up off the floor. Sometimes I think at Joanne Fabrics, they have one of the counters that's about this high. You know, and if you're sitting in a wheelchair, you can't reach that to pay. So the dog can take your credit card and stand up there and pay for you. Diabetes assist dogs. This is people with type 1 diabetes. And some people with type 1 diabetes can't tell when their blood sugar is dropping until it's too late. One story which I find really interesting, this young man developed type 1 diabetes when he was in his teens, and he had that problem that he couldn't tell when his blood sugar was going to drop and he might pass out. And he was a hockey player, and he wanted to go to college and play on the hockey team, but both he and his parents were really worried about that. Well, their physician told them about Candu Canines and said, you better get one of those dogs. And he did, and now, I can't remember what college he goes to, but anyway, the dog lives in the dorm room with him, goes to class with him, rides the bus to the hockey games, and makes it so that he can be an independent young man. A seizure assist dogs. Now, we don't train dogs to know when a seizure is going to happen, but it's more of a response thing. If the person has a seizure, they can teach them to turn the person over on their side so they don't choke. Licking their face will sometimes bring them out of the seizure quicker, or get help. Run and get help. Autism assist is the last one. And this is children age 8 to 12, I think, is the cutoff. I can't remember exactly. But anyway, children that basically are a flight risk. And generally what they do is they tether the child to the dog and also to the parent. You know, so that if the child starts to run off when they're out in public, the dog kind of pulls them back. And the other thing is that the dog can be very calming if the children pet the dog. It can kind of bring down those instances when the child just goes crazy. And it allows the parent and the children to go out in public once again. It's wonderful stories that we hear about that. There is a $50 application fee to apply for one of these dogs, but once you're accepted and matched with one of these dogs, there is no cost to you. You get the dog, you get training along with the dog and follow-up as long as you need it. It costs them about $40,000 for each one of these dogs that they raise. And Candu Canines receives no federal or state funding. I mean, there are some grants occasionally, but all the monies come from contributions and special event fundraising. These puppies are all raised from birth to approximately 2 years of age by volunteers such as myself. Even the breeding moms and the moms that are pregnant live in homes with volunteers. And we do all of that to help out so that when it's time for them to go in for final training, which is at 2 years of age or a little after, and I know you're all thinking, how old is Augie? Augie is about 19 months right now, so he won't be two till the end of June, so you'll still see him for a while yet. The other thing that we have, puppy raisers take puppies from about 10 weeks of age until about 2 years. Or long-term fosters, like myself, take dogs usually from the prisons, which I'll talk about in a minute, until 2 years of age. We got Augie when he was 7 months old. There's Great Start homes where they take a puppy from 10 weeks to 20 weeks old, just for those first weeks to work on obedience and potty training and that kind of thing. And then we have short-term and puppy sitters. For example, if I go on vacation, all I need to do is fill out a form online and they find me another volunteer to take Augie while I go on vacation. And then we also have prison break fosters, which I'll tell you about in a minute here. The majority of our dogs are Labrador Retrievers or Lab Golden Mixes. We have our own breeding program. But some dogs are donated by accredited breeders, such as Goldens or Poodles. And we have some Poodles because That allows people who have allergies to dogs to be able to participate. Okay, we work with 7 prison programs: Waseca, Sandstone, Rochester, and Duluth in Minnesota, and Stanley, Chippewa Falls, and Jackson in Wisconsin. The federal prison camp in Duluth and Chippewa Valley Correction in Chippewa Falls focus on giving our youngest puppies a strong start at 5 weeks. Along with their moms, they live at the prison and learn the very basics in potty training, obedience, and crate training. Sandstone, Waseca, Rochester, Stanley, and Jackson raise puppies with inmates until the pups are about 1 year of age. The dogs continue to work with a long-term foster volunteer for another year until they come in for training at 2 years of age, as I said. In our regular puppy prison programs, the puppies come to them about 20 weeks of age after the Great Start home, and 2 carefully chosen inmates are assigned to each puppy, and together they provide round-the-clock care and obedience training. And we have sent some of our trainers to the prisons on, I think, a weekly basis to work with them. And believe me, those puppies come out of those prisons extremely well trained because they don't have a lot else to do. But one wonderful story that I saw a video where they were interviewing one of the prisoners, and he said, it's my birthday and I'm 39 years old today. And he said, 20 years ago, I made the biggest mistake of my life. And he said, this program has allowed me a way to give back. And you think about that. I mean, prisoners can go to school while they're in prison. They can do a lot of things. But how do they give back? And what if they're in prison for life or whatever? You know, this is a way that they can not only have some self-esteem and some love from these dogs, because the dogs don't care what the prisoners have done in their lives. And anyway, it's a win-win situation. Okay, so here's Augie. I'm down. Just because I said your name, just stay right there. Augie and I are shopping at Menards. One thing I want to mention is a little bit of service dog etiquette. When you see a dog with a cape on like this, they're working. And, you know, it's fine if you want to come and talk to me, but keep your eyes on me. I know he's a really handsome dog and you love to look at him, but these dogs are supposed to be paying attention to their handler at all times. You know, if he was a seizure assist dog, or if he was a diabetes assist dog, and he got distracted, he might miss those cues that are very important. So you don't want to distract a service dog from what they're doing. Okay. Well, here's Augie's first trip to the dentist. It was my trip to the dentist, and it was his coming along with me. But I just want to mention that Minnesota law, as well as laws in most states, state that service dogs and service dogs in training are allowed anywhere in public that a person is allowed, and you cannot deny them access because you're afraid or you're allergic to them or you don't want them there. They can go anywhere. Okay. Well, here he is. My daughter Lisa and I have done this together, and she works from home, but occasionally she goes into the office. So he went with her, and here he's working hard. Okay. This is interesting, a flight to nowhere. This is over at the airport, and along one of the concourses, they have this room with an actual, I don't know what you call it, part of an airplane in there, and this lady who is a pilot for Delta donates her time to do this. That is not Augie there, but it's one of our dogs. So we, about 10 of us, take our dogs over there, and she teaches. They teach you how, where to sit and what the dog should do. Not that it's going to matter to me, because I'm not ever going to be flying with him, but it's a very good experience for the dogs, and they got to walk through the airport and ride the elevators and all of that. I think that they use this a lot for working with people who have a fear of flying. I think that was the main purpose. Okay, well, here's Augie is just a regular puppy when he's at home. The photo on the left, we did take, volunteered to take another dog for about 10 days while this person was going on vacation. So I'm sitting in my floor chair, and that's Dash, I think, on my lap, and Augie's in the chair right next to me. And then there's my beautiful dog. Okay, and here we took him to the Wabasha Street Caves. Next slide. And there's Augie and our dog Nellie, and in front of them is Kip, the dog that we took home for Christmas with us. Okay. And here's Augie and I going for a walk on the walking track over at the Plymouth Center. And we did take, when we had Dash, he's the one with the green collar there, we took Dash and Augie over to Stillwater to see the snow sculptures. And it all went pretty well, but it was extremely icy. So it was kind of, you know, and these dogs, a million dogs had been there, so there was a million spots for them to be trying to sniff. But anyway, it was a good experience. Okay. This is Lucy, who we had as a Great Start puppy. We got Augie when he was 7 months old, and a month later, they took him and sent him to prison for 2 months. So during that 2 months, we agreed to take a Great Start puppy, and that was quite an experience, because Lucy was extremely smart, but she was a handful, let me just say. I like the little bit older ones. Okay. There you go. Okay, so how did I start with this? Well, it was a year ago September. I was off walking our other dog, and my daughter Lisa was home watching Care 11's Saturday morning show, you know, and every Saturday they highlight something that's going on in the community. And Can Do Canines was having a Woofaroo. The Woofaroo is a fundraising event where they have a dog walk, and then they have a costume contest with the dogs. That's what these dogs are doing right here. And they have a little demonstration with what some of the dogs can do and that sort of thing. So Lisa and I packed up Nellie and ran over there real quick and got in on this. I mean, I had seen Can Do Canines for years going by there, and I've always been very interested in that, but I had no idea that there was volunteer opportunities. So in talking with them, I'm finding out, hey, this is great. This is a chance to have another dog that I don't have to pay for, because it's their dog. They pay for the food, they pay for the vet, they pay for the training. And I just got through paying several thousand dollars on training for my own dog, and it's like I can't afford to do that again, but now I can have another dog. So that's how we got into it. And, you know, in hearing the stories about how much it helped people, it's like, wow, you know, we really are doing a good thing here. But, you know, all along it's kind of like, but this is really kind of self-serving, because this is really doing what I want. And yeah, I'm helping others, but I feel kind of guilty about that. And so in trying to figure out how to make a difference, I came across a couple of scriptures. One is Galatians 5:13-15. And it says, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. So I kind of had to step back and think, how do I make this about God and about serving God and about helping others? Well, I can be the best dog trainer and foster that I can be, but the other thought that came to me is I need to start praying not only for Augie, but for the person that God has already chosen to be his partner. And I came across today another scripture, which I think really sums it up as well. And this is also from Galatians. It's 1:10. I am not trying to please people. I want to please God. Do you think I'm trying to please people? If I were doing that, I would not be a servant of Christ. Well, am I trying to please other people, and am I trying to please myself, or am I going to serve Christ? So I would ask all of you to pray for Augie, that he can become the best assistance dog possible. But more important, pray for that person that God has already picked to be Augie's service partner. And pray that they may be ready to accept the responsibility of having a service dog, and that Augie may truly make a difference in their lives. Okay, the last slide. So we're having an open house. There's several dates here, but our next open house is March 4th from 12 to 2. So I would invite you all to come, find out about it. It's just very interesting. They will have somebody, you know, from each of the different assistance dog things, mobility assist, and it's just fun to hear their stories. And I have found that a good way to find out is, you know, when you come up to somebody, say, you know, tell me about your dog, or tell me your story. And just wait. Anyway, so after the service, I will be at the desk out there. And I have handouts if anybody wants to ask questions or has any thing that they want to talk about, I'll be out there. Okay.
Now, whether you're feeling that calling to work with service dogs, I hope that, as Joanne has shared her testimony, that it has maybe unleashed, I didn't mean that pun intended. I'm not that good. I am regularly accidentally punny. I don't do it on purpose. I do hope that you did sense something that, you know, that sometimes in the ways that God calls us to serve, is through something that we innately love doing. And we might first write it off as selfish or maybe just frivolous or whatever the thing is, but when we give it over to God, God is able to use it in ways that can bring just wonderful transformation to the world. And my other hope, too, for us as we gather in worship is, you know, a lot of times when we go about our average day and we are bombarded by stories or whatever is going on in the world, it's easy to feel like the world is falling apart and there's no good that can happen anymore. But I hope that in your time of worship, as you've heard Joanne share her story, as we've given the Faithful Servant Awards, as the children have played their bells, and as you're about to hear the announcements, that you can be reminded that God is working. And God is working through you. And whenever we remain committed to doing all the good we can, God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. And so, for that I give thanks. And since Joanne also said that we should pray for Augie, I think that it would be fitting to do that at this time. So let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for the work of Can Do Canines and for Joanne's commitment to Augie. And as he gets ready for his service, we ask that you bless his training and you bless his work and that you prepare and make a way for the partner that he will be matched with. We thank you for Augie's gifts. We thank you for Joanne's commitment, and we ask that you continue to bless whoever is waiting him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.